Welcome to Economics. The study of economics may be frightening to you. However, you will do well if you learn the vocabulary, understand the economic concepts, and then use your own logical thinking to reason through to the correct answer. The first two chapters introduce you to some basic concepts vital to understanding the other chapters. In these introductory chapters, you will learn about the economic way of thinking. The economic way of thinking provides a logical framework to organizing your thoughts and will help you better understand the world around you. The economic problem is that we live in a world of scarce resources, yet people have unlimited wants and needs. So how do we best meet their needs in this world of scarcity? We live in a world of scarcity because our wants and needs are greater than our ability to supply. Scarcity means that everyone cannot have all that they want at a zero price. Therefore, we use the price mechanism to determine who gets and who does not get. The people with the most money and the greatest desire will receive the scarce goods and services. Scarcity forces us to make choices. To have more of some things, we have to give up other things. Resources are the basic categories of inputs used to produce goods and services. Resources are also called factors of production. Economists divide resources into three categories: land, labor, and capital. Land is a shorthand expression for any natural resource provided by nature. Land includes those resources that are gifts of nature available for use in the production process. Land includes anything natural or above the ground, such as forests, gold, diamonds, oil, wildlife, and fish. Labor is the mental and physical capacity of workers to produce goods and services. The services of farmers, assembly line workers, lawyers, professional football players, and even economists are all examples of labor. Capital is the physical plants, machinery, and equipment used to produce other goods. Capital goods are human-made goods that do not directly satisfy human wants. Before the Industrial Revolution, capital meant a tool, such as a hoe, an axe, or a bow, and an arrow. In these days, these items served as capital to build a house or provide food for the dinner table. Today, capital also consists of factories, office buildings, warehouses, robots, trucks, and distribution facilities. Entrepreneurship is a special type of labor. Entrepreneurship is the creative ability of individuals to seek profits by taking risks and combining resources to produce innovative products. An entrepreneur is a motivated person who seeks profits by undertaking such risky activities as starting a new business, creating new products, or inventing new ways of accomplishing tasks. Entrepreneurship is a scarce human resource because relatively few people are willing or able to innovate and make decisions involving greater than normal chances for failure. Consider your kitchen. In it, you have running water, a sink, a stove, pots and pans, spices, some beef. But do you have soup? No, you need to combine these things to have soup. You have to be a cook. In the economy, the entrepreneur is the cook. The entrepreneur combines resources in just the right way to grow the economy. The term capital, as it is used in the study of economics, can be confusing. Economists know that capital in everyday conversations means money or money value of paper assets, such as stocks, bonds, or deed to a house. This is actually financial capital. In the study of economics, capital does not refer to money assets. Instead, capital in economics means a factor of production, such as a factory or machinery. Stated simply, you must pay special attention to this point. Money is not capital and is therefore not a resource. Macroeconomics is a branch of economics that studies decision-making for the economy as a whole. Macroeconomics applies an overview perspective to an economy by examining economic-wide variables, such as inflation, unemployment, growth of the economy, the money supply, and the national incomes of developing countries. Macroeconomic decision-making considers such big-picture policies as the effect that federal tax cuts will have on unemployment and the effect that the changing money supply will have on prices. Microeconomics is a branch of economics that studies decision-making by a single individual, household, firm, industry, or level of government. Microeconomics applies a microscope to study specific parts of an economy as one would examine cells in the body. The focus is on small economic units, such as economic decisions of particular groups of consumers and businesses. We have described macroeconomics and microeconomics as two separate branches, but they are related, because the overall economy is the sum or aggregation of its parts. Microeconomics is a branch of economics that studies decision-making by a single individual, household, firm, industry, or level of government. Microeconomics applies a microscope to study specific parts of an economy as one would examine cells in the body. The focus is on small economic units, such as economic decisions of particular groups of consumers and businesses. We have described macroeconomics and microeconomics as two separate branches, but they are related, because the overall economy is the sum or aggregation of its parts. A model is a simplified description of reality used to understand and predict the relationship between variables. The terms model and theory are interchangeable. A model emphasizes only those variables that are most important to explaining an event. To be useful, a model requires simplified assumptions. As you work through a model, try to think of a host of relevant variables assumed to be standing still or held constant. Ceteris paribus is a Latin phrase that means while certain variables change, all other things remain unchanged. In short, the ceteris paribus assumption allows us to isolate or focus attention on selected variables. Someone must decide, for example, whether a map will include only symbols for the major highways or the details of hiking trails through the mountains. A model is valid only when a cause and effect relationship is stable over time, rather than being an association that occurs by chance and eventually disappears. The fact that one event follows another does not necessarily mean that the first event caused the second event. Economists use the same scientific method used by other disciplines, such as criminology, biology, chemistry, and physics. The scientific method is a step-by-step procedure for solving problems by developing a theory, gathering data, and testing whether the data are consistent with the theory. This exhibit summarizes the model-building process. Economists may appear to disagree more than other professionals, partly because it is more interesting to report disagreements than agreements. Actually, economists agree on a wide range of issues. Many economists, for example, agree on free trade among nations, the elimination of farm subsidies, and rent ceilings, government deficit spending to recover from a recession, and many other issues. When disagreements do exist, the reason can often be explained by the differences between positive economics and normative economics. As you work through a model, try to think of a host of relevant variables assumed to be standing still or held constant. Ceteris paribus is a Latin phrase that means while certain variables change, all other things remain unchanged. In short, the ceteris paribus assumption allows us to isolate or focus attention on selected variables. A model is valid only when a cause and effect relationship is stable over time, rather than being an association that occurs by chance and eventually disappears. The fact that one event follows another does not necessarily mean that the first event caused the second event. Economists may appear to disagree more than other professionals, partly because it is more interesting to report disagreements than agreements. Actually, economists agree on a wide range of issues. When disagreements do exist, the reason can often be explained by the difference between positive economics and normative economics. Positive economics deals with facts and therefore addresses what is or verifiable questions. Positive economics is analysis limited to statements that are verifiable. Positive statements can be proven either true or false. Often a positive statement is expressed if A, then B. For example, if the national unemployment rate rises to 7%, then teenage unemployment exceeds 80%. This is a positive if-then prediction, which may or may not be correct. Accuracy is not the criteria for being a positive statement. The key consideration is whether the statement is testable, not whether it is true or false. Normative economics is based on a value judgment. Normative statements cannot be proven true or false. Phrases such as good, bad, ought to indicate that we have entered the realm of normative economics. This concludes Chapter 1. You now have a basic understanding of key concepts, such as economics, what scarcity means, what resources are, the meaning of capital, the difference between microeconomics and macroeconomics, the importance of model building, the Ceteris-Paribus assumption, and the difference between normative economics and positive economics.